start. So I want to continue with our introduction to the topic. Last week was intro number one. I think this week and probably next week we'll also do a little more intro, and then we'll get into the real topic in, you know, for another 2 weeks or so. But if we don't prepare properly for the topic, we don't appreciate it in the same way. So I think the intro is very important to really appreciate what we're talking about. And then from there, we can move into the actual months themselves and understand each month individually. My wife, Aliza, most of you know her, I think. She wished she could be here. And she listened to the Ashir last week on the recording. And she said, "Did you say this? Did you say that?" So I said, "Oh, great idea." So I'm going to share her additions to the Ashir, which are great things to say as well. And she'll appreciate that too. But she's going to listen every single week. And those who see her can talk to her about the Ashir also. She likes talking about the Ashir too. But when we discussed last week the idea of Rosh Chodesh in the different months, so the idea of Rosh Chodesh is interesting. There's a minhag that women refrain from certain malacha on Rosh Chodesh. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Not everyone keeps this minhag. You can ask your rabbi if you should or not. Not everyone keeps to this. And the malacha does not mean, it's not like Shabbos. It's more like heavy labor, laundry, sewing, things that are more a little intricate malachos. But there is a minhag that women refrain from malacha on Rosh Chodesh. And the question is why. So this is quoted in the Torah, in the Shulchan Aruch. And they explain because really Rosh Chodesh should have been a yantif for everybody. Should have been more of a yantif. But the men lost out because the men worshipped the Egel HaZahav and the women refrained. So as a reward for women, they're given an extra yantif. That's the way it's explained. This minhag is explained. And women get Rosh Chodesh as their yantif. So women refrain from malacha on Rosh Chodesh. Again, how to do it, if you should do it, ask your rabbi. But it is a very, very prevalent minhag, and it's an old minhag, and something which associates women with Rosh Chodesh. So a women's shiur about the month is actually very appropriate, because actually the Rosh Chodesh itself is a holiday at this point reserved for women. So it's a very interesting thing. Also, we find that women's bodies actually work in a monthly cycle as well. So the months really work in rhythm with women. So it's a very appropriate topic for women's shiur. So those were Aliza's additions, which I thought were very appropriate to share. But that's the idea of months. So this week I want to do is, we mentioned last week how every month has its topics, has its ideas, has its concepts. So I want to go a little more specific this time. In particular, let's start off with the Sefer Yetzirah I mentioned last week. Sefer Yetzirah is a Sefer of Kabbalah attributed to Avram Avinu. But it's a very early Sefer. But Sefer Yetzirah actually discusses each month and talks about how every single month corresponds to different ideas, and it goes through these ideas. So for instance, every month gets a mazel. We know the idea of the zodiac, astrology. That's a Jewish idea. Everyone realizes it's a very Jewish idea. It comes from Jewish sources. And every single month has a mazel. So, I'll give out a chart in a second. Maybe I'll give out the chart now. I made charts so we can see what the Sefer Yetzirah says. You can pass that around. I always give treats to take home. A lot of goodies to take home. So you can enjoy the treats. But, sure, no problem. The Shear does go online at a certain point on TorahDownloads.com, but it takes a few days till it gets there. So if you want it today, then it's good to record it. So this chart is mostly based on Sefer Yetzirah. The last column on the left, the tribe, the Shevet, that the month corresponds to is from other sources. I'll talk about that a little later. But Sefer Yetzirah gives for every single month a letter, an os, a certain sense or action a person would do, a mazel, one of the signs of the zodiac, and then an aver, a certain limb or organ in the body that corresponds to that month. And obviously these are very deep ideas according to the Kabbalah, and they have to do with the way the world was created and how Hashem formed the world and formed the months. But yet, on our level, we can draw out different ideas from every single point that corresponds to the month. So we'll refer back to this probably throughout the course of this class, but it's good for us to understand how every single month corresponds to these types of things. And the idea mentioned in correspondence to the month obviously brings out a certain concept of the month. In terms of the idea of mazel, just, I guess, astronomy 101, I actually reviewed this morning with Jacob Glinman. So he helped me with this one. He's my astrology expert. There you are. But the way that a mazel works is that the 12 signs of the zodiac, the 12 mazalos, so they're all in the sky essentially, all going all around. And since the earth is revolving around the sun, so every single month the sun will appear kind of in line with one of those constellations. So the constellation that appears kind of in line with the sun, that's the zodiac, that's the constellation of the month, the mazel of the month. That's essentially how it works. So you can look at different models of astronomy and see, he showed me this morning actually on his computer, how every, as the Earth revolves around the sun, every month we have a different perspective on the sun, and therefore you see the constellation in a different angle, and the sun will appear in front of the constellation. So each month has its constellation, and that was looked at by Chazal and by many, many early Svarim as something of significance, and we understand that the mazel has an impact on the world. That's something which is discussed in the Gemara and many other sources. And so that's the idea of the mazel of the month. You see in the second column, you know, from the right, there's an os, is a letter of each month. Why these are the letters that are chosen, I'm not sure, but these are the letters that go with each month. So right now we're in Marcheshvan, the letter Marcheshvan is Nun, so to figure out why that is. Every month has its action or its sense. So in Marcheshvan, the sense is Reach, the sense of smell. The mazel, Akrav, the scorpion, I guess that's Scorpio, I think, in English, right? And then Dakin, intestines, is the organ of the month. So again, why that is, that's something we need to discuss. And then the last column on the left, the Shevet. So there's actually several different versions of which Shevet corresponds to each month. The one that I chose to use is the one from the Arizal, just because that's the one I've seen discussed more often in Svarim. But the Arizal's order of the Shvatim, if you notice, it goes in order of how they camped in the Midbar. So the first three, Hudisachar Zvulun, that was Machane Yehuda. Reuven, Shimon, and Gav was Machane Reuven. Ephraim, Menashe, Binyamin, and then Dan, Asher, Naphtali. Each one is arranged in the order of the Machanos that were in the Midbar as they camped around the Mishkan. So that's the order, that's this chart. So keep this handy. We'll refer back to this as time goes on. But that's the chart. Now the source of the fact that every month corresponds to a Shevet actually has an interesting source. I mean, obviously there's Kabbalistic reasons for it. But one of the main sources for this is actually a quote that I'll read to you from the Torah. I mean, the Torah is what is really our source of halacha. And the Torah, in his discussion of Rosh Chodesh, he points out that, and we'll refer back to this in a few different ways, but he says, he quotes from his brother Yehuda. So the Torah himself was the son of the Rush, the famous Rishon, and he had a brother named Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda, the Torah's brother, says that the Moadim, the different Yamim Tovim, they were Niskanu Keneged HaAvos. Those correspond to the Avos. So you have Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. And that corresponds, he says, Pesach is connected to Avraham. He says that Shavuos is connected to Yitzchak. And he says that Sukkot is connected to Yaakov. So those three holidays, each correspond to one of the Avos. And then he continues, V'yud Beis Rosh Chodesh Hashanah, the 12 Rosh Chodeshes of the year, Shagam Heim Nikraim Mo'adim, they're also called festivals. A Rosh Chodesh is a festival. Keneged Yud Beis Shvatim. Rosh Chodesh corresponds to the 12 different Shvatim. And then he goes into this point we said about women. Keshechatu be'egel nitlu mehem, when the men sinned with the egel, that yontif was taken away from men. V'nitlu v'neshoseim was given over to the women. V'zecher shlevusuchein. That reminds them that they weren't involved in the chet. They get a special treat having an extra yontif. They weren't involved in the chet. But we see that the Torah tells us that every month corresponds to a different Shevet. That's what we see. So Rosh Chodesh, every month corresponds to a certain Shevet. A yontif corresponds to an Av. So that shows us that there is an idea that months correspond to a Shevet.
Now, repeat the Avos and the Moadim?
Sure, no problem. Pesach is Avraham. Shavuos is Yitzchak. And Sukkot is Yaakov. And he actually quotes reasons why each one is, you know, is as is. I can just tell you quickly. Avraham, it says, when Avraham in 6th Parsha, he tells his wife, Sarah, he says, Lushi vasi ugos, go knead cakes. And Chazal tells us he refers to matzah. He was actually making matzah, it was Pesach at the time. Shavuos corresponds to Yitzchak, because the shofar of Matan Torah, Chazal tells us, was the same horn as the ram that was offered up in Yitzchak's place by the Akedah. And Sukkot is connected to Yaakov, because the Pasuk says, Lemikneo asa Sukkot, the Yaakov made Sukkot for his cattle, for his flocks. So each one in the Torah, you find a reference to the Yantif, which it corresponds to. But we see the 12 Rosh Chodeshim correspond to the Shvatim. Now, which Shevet is which? So that's the list we have over here. The Arizal says which Shevet is which based on his count. Others have a different count. That's the idea of every single month corresponding to a different Shevet. Now, I want to talk more about the Shvatim. Like, why is that significant? Like, it happens to line up 12 and 12. It works. It's cool. But what exactly is it about the 12 Shvatim that should... Why should that come out in the months? Like, how does that relate? How does that fit? And that's really a big question I want to address today. There's my other goodies here. One second. I'm going to pass out two things, which we'll look at now. And we're going to understand more about the idea of 12 Shvatim, and then we'll figure out why it corresponds to the 12 months. You can pass those around. Thank you. Let's wait till those go around, and then we'll talk. What we're going to look at here is a Gemara Maseches Pesachim. We're going to look at a Medrash. And then we're going to look at the commentary of the Akedas Yitzchak, because one of the Rishonim, a Spanish Rishon, who wrote a very, very beautiful but difficult commentary on the Torah. That's the Akedas Yitzchak. So let's pass those around, and we'll start. And this will be our main focus for today, is to understand the idea of the 12 Shvatim, and why the Shvatim and the months should have anything to do with each other. Like, it happens to be 12 and 12, but what does it mean beyond that? So the first thing I want to see, it's the Gemara from Maseches Pesachim. It's the first Gemara quoted on the sheet with, you know, the printout sheet there. And the Gemara is discussing a question as why we say, when we say Shema every day, we add in the line, Baruch Shem Klim Achusalam Ve. We add that line in. Now if you look in your Chumash, that line doesn't exist in the Chumash. It's not part of the Torah, that line. That line comes from somewhere else. Why do we say that line? Why is the line Baruch Shem recited in Shema? Everyone got a copy? Enough going around? I guess you can share if there's not enough. That's all I have. Story of... Okay, there we go. So the question is, why do we say Baruch Shem from Achus Lamed? So Rish Lakish quotes the Torah in Parshas Vayechi, talking about Yaakov's day of death, essentially. Yaakov's on his deathbed, and he calls for all his sons to gather around him, all the Shvatim. Vikar Yaakov Abanov V'yomer Ha'asfu V'agidu Lachem. Yaakov called to his children, and he said, gather together, and I will tell you. So what do you want to do? So the Gemara tells us, Bikesh Yaakov legalos levon of Ketz Hayamin. Yaakov wants to reveal to his 12 sons the time Mashiach would come. The Ketz. When is Mashiach going to come? When will the world reach its perfection? But the problem was, Mestalkin menu Shechina. As he's about to divulge the information, the Shechina left him. He was no longer privy to information. That's what happened. So Yaakov got a little bit concerned. Like, what happened here? I knew before. I had Ruach HaKodesh. I had from Hashem. I had the Shechina with me. And all these sons gather around. Suddenly the Shechina's gone. There must be something wrong with my sons. It's not my fault. So it must be that the sons have something wrong with them. So Amar, so Yaakov said, Shema Chas V'Sholom Yesh B'mitasi P'sul. Maybe Chas V'Sholom, I have in my children a P'sul. One of my kids is P'sul. One of my kids, something's wrong with one of my kids. And they're not worthy of hearing the time from Mashiach. Avram, maybe it's like Avram, Shatzim and Yishmo. Avram had a bad kid, he had Yishmo. Vavi Yitzchak, my father Yitzchak had a bad kid, Shatzim and Esav, he had Esav. So maybe one of my 12 sons also is off the derech, he's not doing the right things. So Amrlo Banav. So his kids said to him, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kino, Shema Chod. They said no. They said Shema Yisrael to him. And it's kind of like a pun, because Yisrael is also Yaakov's name. Right? So they said, listen, Yaakov. Hashem is Echad. We all believe in Hashem Echad. We all have Emunah. We're all good Jews. We're upstanding individuals. It's not our fault. That's not why the Shechina left you. And they said to him, Amru, they said, Geshem she'em belibcha el Echad, just like in your heart there's only one God, kach em belibenu el Echad, so too there's only one God in our hearts as well. We're just like you, Yaakov. We have one God in our heart as well. Vosa Shah, so at that moment, Pasach Yaakov Avinu, opened up, and he said, "Amar Baruch Shem Kol Machuslam." But he said the line of Baruch Shem Kol Machuslam Ben, like we say in Shema. So because Yaakov responded that to his sons, and they said Shema, we say that in Shema as well. That's what the Gemara says. But it's very interesting. So we have the 12 sons here. Yaakov has a concern that there's something wrong, like somebody is off. Someone's doing something wrong. And they're able to reassure Yaakov that, no, we're all good kids, we all believe in Hashem, we're Ovdei Hashem, we're Tzadikim, it's not a problem. So it's important for us to understand, what was Yaakov's thoughts, and what were they responding? What exactly was the conversation there? To look at one more source, and then we'll discuss it more. Look at the next source on your page, from the Medrash. This is a Medrash also in Vayechi, and it speaks about Yaakov with his 12 sons, and he gave them three different orders before he died. And we're going to quote the third one. It says here, Vayasuban v'lokein kasher tzivam. His children did as he commanded. And we'll skip to Hashlishi. What was the third thing he commanded them? On a Sias Hamitza, he commanded them that when they carry his casket to burial, Amar lehem tenu daitchem, shaliga arav mitasi, make sure that a non-Jew doesn't touch my bed. I mean, I don't want to be handled by non-Jews. The pallbearers should all be Jews, his sons. So the Lasalik is a Shekhinah Melech. I don't want the Shekhinah to leave me. El Kaseder Hazeh Afsuli. You should do for me in this order. Se'uosi Shloshim Netzafon. I want three of you in the north. Shloshim Nedarim, three of you in the south. Shloshim Mizrach, three of you in the east. Shloshim Mira, three of you in the west. Kashem She'atem Osin Li, Kachatem Asin Lasos Dal Degom. And just like you do for me when you carry me to my grave, so too you'll do in the Midbar. You'll have your four different camps in the Midbar, camping around the Mishkan. Veshchina Bemsa, and the Shechina will be in the middle. So Yaakov is describing a certain order the sun should be in. And just like right now, at my funeral, you should be arranged in this order. So too, in the Midbar, when you're traveling, you'll arrange yourselves in that order. That's what Yaakov tells them. So there's an idea of Yaakov arranging his 12 sons in a specific way. And then there should be, Yaakov should be in the middle, which corresponds to the Mishkan or the Shechina in the middle in the desert. That's what Yaakov tells them. So it's important for us to understand the conversation of Yaakov and his sons before. That was before this incident, I guess. And then to understand why it was so important to Yaakov to have his sons arranged in that way. And we do find that the Torah speaks at length about the Diglei Midbar. The order of the tribes is described, you know, in Parshas Bamidbar, it's a long discussion. And we read it, and we're like, why is it so important? Like, why does the Torah spend so much time discussing just the order everyone should camp? Like, you know, you're in room, it's like you're going to a hotel, everyone has their bed in their room. That's great, but why is that important to put in the Torah? So that's an interesting thing why the Torah discusses that. So what I think is the answer to this, and the understanding we need to take, we'll learn from the Akedas Yitzchak. That's the other copy. Those are our three copies. And the Akedas Yitzchak was written by Rav Yitzchak Arama, was his name. He lived at the very end of the Spanish-Jewish era before the expulsion. I think he was actually part of the expulsion, Rav Yitzchak Arama, not right before then. And he wrote a parish in the Torah called the Akedas Yitzchak, called the Akeda. It's a parish which is very long. It's very, very complete and very thorough, but people don't look at it because it's so long, typically. This piece I only saw because Rav Lopiansky, in his Sefer he put out, actually went through it and picked out pieces that are important and stuck it into his Sefer, like snippets of it. So this was one of the snippets in Rav Lopiansky's Sefer he put out. And that's where I found it. But this piece discusses what's the importance of the Shvatim camping in the Midbar. Why does it matter that you have these 12 Shvatim in this order? Like, why is that so significant? So we'll begin. This is in the middle of a long piece in Parshas Bamidbar. He says, and this is a very central idea in Hashkafa for a Jew in general, and then we'll see why it applies to our topic in specific. So he's going to describe to us the Torah's intent in all the discussion of the different Shvatim, and why the census and the numbers make a difference. And why each individual had to relate to a certain Shevet. The Abdullah Salvium, and why the Levium were put into the middle, separate from the rest of the Jews. The Levium camped in the middle around the Mishkan, in their own area, separate from the rest of the Shvatim. The Sum Osal Arba Roshim, why were they put into four different camps? The Chalukas HaShvatim Al Arba DeGolim, and why were the Shvatim divided into four different, under four different flags? Sholos Sholos Kol Degel V'Degel, three Shvatim for each flag. The Chanias Kulam Sof Mishkan, and they all camped around the Mishkan. This is in addition to just setting aside the Mikdash. We understand that we shouldn't have everyone just, you know, trampling through the Mishkan. Okay, so the Mishkan courtyard's off limits. No one tramples through that. But to go beyond that, everyone have their own special place to go in, why do we need that? So we understand in Har Sinai, they said, don't go up the mountain. Hashem warned the Jews several times, you should stay back. Nobody besides Moshe should be going up this mountain. But they weren't given spots to stand in. They're told just stay back. So we understand the idea, stay back from the Mishkan. That makes sense, because the Mishkan's a holy place. Everyone should keep away. But why is it so specific? And he says, it's similar to what happened in Har Sinai, because Shlo Yerzu HaShem Liros, Kosh Kosef Rambam, Sichas Pirush HaSefer HaZeh. So he explains, Hine, Yeh Tuos Atzumo, the benefit of this is great. Understanding the formation of the Shvatim is an incredible benefit to us. Mitzad Shem Matzavan Ala Ofen Ahu, because putting them in their special place helps them understand the value of the place in the middle. Let me picture it. You have Shvatim all around, you have the Levium, then you have the Mishkan right in the middle. So everybody is focused in on that focal point right in the center. What's that focal point? It's the Mishkan. So we're trying to drive home to every single Yid, which is in Klal Yisrael, the importance of the Mishkan. Asher bo Aron HaBris, and the Mishkan contains the Aron, Adon Kol, the Aron of Hashem. So if you think of it even further, you have all the Shvatim, you have the Levium, you have the Mishkan, you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim, You have the Aron, and the center of it all is the Luchos in the Sefer Torah. That's the center of all Klai Yisrael, is the Luchos in the Aron, the Sefer Torah in the Aron. That's what you have in the center of all Klai Yisrael. And very similar, he says, Moshe Amru, we know we all daven, in America we daven Mizrach, but every Jew in the world davens towards Yerushalayim. If you're in South Africa, you daven north. If you're in China, you daven west. That's what you would do. So every single Jew davening always faces Yerushalayim. It's the same concept. Nimsa Ome Mizrach Machzer Panam Lamayra. The Gemara says, if you're in the east, you turn west. If you're in the west, you turn east. If you're north, you turn south. If you're south, you turn north. Nimsu Kulam Mechavnim Libam Levishamayim. Because every single Jew will direct their hearts with Kavana towards Hashem. Vu Inyan Asma Torah Lokis. Kibur Osa Shayukol Machaneim Nefrashim Dalam Alothim Amam Mishkan. Everyone will notice that all the different camps were 2,000 Amos away from the Mishkan. And the Levium were in the middle. And then you have the Chatzar, the court of the Mishkan, separating the Levium to the actual building itself. And then you have the Parochas separating the Kodesh to the Kodesh HaKadashim in the inner room. And the Kodesh HaKadashim, Aaron. And then you have in the Kodesh HaKadashim, you have the Aaron itself. I shall have a Kruvim and Parsek Nafan. Make it the Kruvim on top of the Aaron, which are directed down towards the Aaron itself. And the Torah of Hashem is right inside the Aron, in the middle of all Klai Yisrael. And this is the key line, Eskiu v'yedu. Everybody will understand and know, Ki ikar hakol, that the primary focus of every single Jew in the entire world has to be the Torah. V'yemerka azasher alav yisobavu kol ha'nyanem ha'nechbadim ha'ila. And the Torah is the center point upon which all of these concepts should revolve. And then everybody will establish in their hearts the understanding that the Torah is the focal point of all. And then he continues, then they'll have, once they get this down straight, if once we know that our actions are all focused on the Torah, so then we're going to have burning in our hearts, very beautiful poetic language, the strong desire, like fiery coals that won't be extinguished for Torah. In the Torah's sweet and cold water will cool down our taivos, v'tavera chukos v'gufios, and it will come and take away our bodily and physical desires. And through this, all of us will come to separating from the physical and involving ourselves in imaginary success, as we had mentioned here before, Shoshana, that first year, imaginary success. And we'll be able to focus on the neshama and on spiritual matters. So in other words, he's painting a beautiful picture. Klai Yisrael has to be arranged with one focal point in the middle. That focal point is the Sefer Torah and the Luchos. So every shev it's placed, okay, you're in the north, you're in the south, picture, it's kind of like a circle, it wasn't really a circle, but and then you have the point in the middle of the circle, and everything is focusing on that point. It's teaching every single Jew that your life has to be focused on one thing only, which is fulfilling the Torah. That's what every single Jew is supposed to do. And that's the structure of Klai Yisrael. When we dive into the same thing, every Jew is focusing on one spot. What's the spot? The Beis HaMikdash in general. But really the halacha is, if you're standing in the Beis HaMikdash, where would you dive in towards? Towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And if you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where would you dive in towards? Towards the Aron. That's what you would do. Because the focal point of every Jew when they're davening is always going to be on that point as well. I mean, even if we're not living in this manner anymore, we do have that experience three times a day that we dive in towards that focal point. Because we have to recognize that everything in our life should revolve around that point and that point only. So it was true in the Midbar. It was true in Eretz Yisrael. When all the Jews, all the Shvatim, they had their special tribal heritage in their lands. But again, everybody was focused on the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody went there for the Alil HaRegel three times a year and other times in the year as well. People were there constantly. It was the center of their lives. And part of the point of that is to show that our life has to be focused on the Torah and the Torah only. That's the point of that whole structure of Klai Yisrael as they camped around the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. Now, how does that relate more to the Shvatim? So if you go back to Yaakov Avinu, he looked at his sons, and they responded to him, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. Now, did Yaakov think from his sons they thought Hashem wasn't one? Like, well, what was that conversation? Yaakov said, maybe something's wrong here. They said, no, Hashem is one. Yaakov thought that they did a Avodah Zarah. What did Yaakov think exactly? So I think the answer is very simple and very important. The answer is the Shvatim were all very different people. You look at the brachos Yaakov gave to them. the brachos Yaakov gives them, they weren't just like Yaakov's hopes for their future. Yaakov was able to pick up on the unique character of every single Shevet and give them a bracha based on their unique character. So Yaakov saw, for instance, I think Usher, I don't have them in front of me, they're from Sukkim, but yeah, let's say Usher is known for that they had a land that was very fertile in terms of oil and olives, etc. I don't remember the bracha offhand, but each Shevet got a bracha for what they would be doing in the future. Zvulun was known to be a great businessman. And the brachas they got, he got both from Yaakov and from Moshe Rabbeinu and Vilosa Bracha, were about succeeding in his business. Naphtali, we know, also had a very fertile land. Naphtali was very quick, and the brachas he got were based on his land, his speed, etc., based on his character and his nature. Every sheep is very different. So you can have this concept in your mind, well, if Hashem is one, and the Torah is one, all Jews should be the same. Right? I mean, we're all following the same God and the same Torah. And Yaakov looks around his 12 sons, and they're all so different. You know, this one is a sailor, and this one is a farmer, and this one's a businessman, and this one's an accountant, this one's a doctor. I don't know if any doctors in the Shvatim, but everyone had a different job, different role, and they're living life differently. All the Shvatim. And Yaakov gave them brachos at the end of his life, really pinpointing their unique potential, unique character, unique traits that they had. And Yaakov said, well, you're all so different. How can I tell that you're all worshiping Hashem in the proper way? That you're focusing on one God and one Torah and not doing avodah zarah and doing things in different manners. How do I know that? So they said, no, even though we all look so different, we have one focal point. Like you have in the terms of the Mishkan. We're all, you know, I'm in the north, he's in the south, he's in the west, he's in the east. And this one's northeast, this one's southeast. Everyone's in their own unique place, meaning everyone's different. Each Shevet was kind of isolated on their own because they all had different tasks to do, different missions in life. So then you might have the concern, well, if they're all doing such different things, who says they're focusing on Torah Hashem in the same way? Maybe they're doing things wrong. Maybe they're doing things in their own way, which is not what Hashem wants them to do. And the answer has to be, there's Hashem Echad. There's one focal point, there's one Mishkan, there's one Luchos, and we're all focusing on that. So even though we look different, and we have different roles, and different jobs, and missions in life, it makes no difference because ultimately all of our goals are to serve Hashem. And that's when Yaakov responds, Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Olam Ved. Blessed is the name of Hashem's kingdom forever and ever. Maybe that response makes a lot of sense. Because the concept of having a kingdom, a Malchus, if every single person in a kingdom does the same thing, it's going to fall apart. I mean, you look at America. You need to have people who are going to be doctors and lawyers and accountants. You need plumbers, you need electricians, you need garbage collectors, you need nurses, you need teachers, you need everything. You can't have a Malchus without everything being covered. So you'll say, in Eretz Yisrael, they're all going to just do one thing. Well, then, you know, you can't have a country function that way. No, every Shevet, every Jew had their own role, their own mission, their own tachlis. But as long as they're focusing that we're doing it all l'shem shemayim, that I'm going to be the garbage collector for Eretz Yisrael, but I'm doing it for the sake of Hashem. I want Hashem's country to be clean and sanitary and look respectful to make a kiddushim shemayim. Well, that garbage collector is doing his role in life, and he's a tzaddik for doing that. And any position a person has, any task you do, if your kavana is, I'm doing it with that focal point in mind, I'm doing it for the sake of Hashem, for the sake of the Torah, then you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. All of us are different, we all have unique characteristics, and we're supposed to live our life based on the unique way Hashem made us all. But we're all supposed to be doing everything that we do with that one focal point in mind. I'm doing it to further Hashem's goals in the world. That's always going to be our goal. So you look at the Shvatim, there's 12 Shvatim, and they're all very, very unique. And Yaakov, on his deathbed, said, I want you to carry me in this formation. Because he was already trying to drive home to them the concept, right after he died, that there was going to be, you know, Yaakov was the one who compassed it all. Yaakov Avinu was the last of the Avos, and within Yaakov contained all of Klal Yisrael. Now Yitzchak gave birth to Esav, so Yitzchak wasn't purely giving birth to Klal Yisrael, he gave birth also to Esav, and Avraham Yishmael. But Yaakov gave birth to the 12 Shvatim, which that was all of Klal Yisrael kind of combined in one. So Yaakov was the center point, kind of saying, I contain within myself all the Avodas Hashem, all the Jews, all the missions in life. But then every Shevet was given a different portion of Yaakov. You know, Yaakov had 12 sons, each son was given a little bit different mission in life. And they said to Yaakov, our one goal is to further Hashem's Malchus in the world. So Yaakov said, wonderful. That's great. Baruch Shem Malchus Olam Ve'ed. Blessed is the name of Hashem's kingdom forever and ever. This kingdom is going to succeed. And Yaakov was very happy. So when he died, he said, everyone should take their position and recognize their differences and how diverse they are, but yet know that there's one focal point in the middle, which is the Shechina, which is the Mishkan, which is the Torah, and that's what everyone should be focusing on. That was Yaakov's point to his children. So it gives a whole new meaning to the Shvatim camping in the Midbar. It's not just like random places they're put. So we have to understand why, you know, why is it this Sheva goes in the northeast, and this is the northwest, this one's in the center of the north. But each direction has its meaning. Hashem knew the proper location for each Sheva based on their own personal talents. Similar to the fact that in Eretz Yisrael, every Sheva got their own portion of land. And it was done based on Hashem's Ratzon, and Hashem decreed where everyone should go. Because Hashem knew which land was appropriate for which Sheva. It wasn't a random pick. It wasn't a lottery. It was actually done by a lottery, but Al-Pi Hashem as well. It's interesting. But ultimately, it was Hashem's decision. And every Sheva was given the parcel of land which fit their mission in life. It's a lesson for all of us, because every single individual Jew has their own mission in life. None of us have the same mission. Hashem gave us all different talents, different upbringings, different background, different family, different everything. But we're all Jews serving Hashem. And the question that we ask is always going to be, is our focal point on Hashem? So if it is, then we're all doing what we're supposed to be doing. And if not, then we need to realign that focal point. But that's always the question. If you look at the Shvatim, so again, some were farmers, some were in business, some sat and learned Torah all day. You had Yisachar and Levi who learned Torah and served Hashem all day long in that way. But every single Shevet did their thing, and that was their task and their talent and their mission in life. And as long as their focus is on that center point, then they're in good shape. So I think that's really the point the Akedat Yisrael was describing. And that's the idea of the 12 Shvatim. So when we go back to our topic here of the 12 months corresponding to the 12 Shvatim. So the 12 Shvatim should encompass for us the entire gamut of Avos Hashem. Meaning that the number 12, we'll talk about why 12 is a unique number. But the number 12 itself is supposed to be kind of the full picture of the ways to serve Hashem. The 12 Shvatim to come together to serve Hashem in a perfect manner. Hashem's Malchus is composed of the 12 Shvatim. That's how Hashem creates Klal Yisrael. And that means that the full picture of the perfection of serving Hashem comes in 12. And there's 12 pathways to Hashem. It's actually very interesting. Now we know there's many different ways to daven. Nusach Sfard, Sfardi, Ashkenaz, the Germans have certain minhagim, and different Jews, different areas of the world, certain minhagim and davening. If you go to a Sephardi shul and you're Ashkenazi, you're very confused because you're not used to the davening. You know, the main points are the same, but there's a lot of differences. So, on the one hand, the halacha is, you know, when you're in a shul of a different nusach, anything done out loud, you should daven in their nusach. Anything done quietly, you can daven to yourself in your own personal nusach. But the Mishnah Berurah says that you're certainly yotzei davening in someone else's nusach. I mean, if you go to a Sephardi shul, all you have is a Sephardi sitter, and you're stuck. That's all you can daven from. So even if you're Ashkenazi, you can daven from the Sephardi Siddur or your Yotze. Your davening is fine. And Mishnah Berurah explains, because just like there were 12 Shvatim, so there were 12 different ways to daven also in the times of the Eretz Yisrael, in times of the Mishkan. I have a quote over here. And the Mishnah Berurah says that Kishneimasar Sharam Hashemayim, there's 12 gates in Shemayim, Neged Shneimasar Shvatim, which correspond to the 12 tribes. So every Sheva had their own gate in Shemayim. Every single Shevet had their own gate and their own minhug, the way they approached Hashem. So every Shevet had a unique nusach tefillah. Every Shevet has the Torah is the same for all. Mitzvahs, halacha doesn't change. But there's certain approaches that change. You know, the actual words of davening, so there's flexibility in that. So once you have your minhug, you stick to your minhug. But the fact that there's Sfardi and Ashkenazi and Sfard and Yekusha davening and all these different ways to daven, it's not just, you know, random, it's not mistakes, it's not just, you know, the result of time having things get confused. There are 12 pathways to connect to Hashem. Happens to be the way that Muschasim Davin, Nusach Sfard, was composed by the Arizal only, you know, 400 years ago. And the Arizal said that what that Nusach is supposed to be called the Shara Kolel. This is there's 12 specific gates, and then there's one, like, gate that's, you know, anyone can come into. You know, it's one, like, open gate for all. So we said that none of us know our Shevet anymore, and we don't know which minhag belongs to us, so we should take the generic gate, which is the Nusach Sfard, the way he composed it. Again, everyone should follow their own minhag, but that was meant to be the generic Nusach, that anybody could use, no matter what Shevet you're from. But the idea that there's all these different ways of davening, it corresponds to the idea that there was 12 Shvatim, and 12 ways to approach Hashem, and he says even 12 gates in Shemayim for the Tfilos. It's a fascinating thing. Which you can also relate just, you know, in general. No, there's Hasidim, and there's Sfardim, and there's Ashkenazim, and there's all different Jews out there. Now, as long as they're keeping halacha, and they fear Hashem, so then there's different ways of doing things. And it's not right or wrong, you know, there's 12 Shvatim, and you can assume that Shevet Dan served Hashem differently than Shev and Naphtali served Hashem. Maybe Naphtali was Hasidish and Dan was Sephardi. I mean, I don't know. But it's the fact that different ways of serving Hashem, it fits the Shvatim. And they were all very different. And the Mishnah Berurah tells us very clearly that everyone had their own shar, their own minhag. So that's when we look at other Jews, and if they're not keeping halacha, then that's not part of the 12 Shvatim. The 12 Shvatim are within the realm of halacha. But once they're in the realm of halacha, and there's a different approaches to how to go about, you know, a davening, about doing a certain mitzvah, different perspectives on Yiddishkeit, if it's within halacha and there's Yiras Shemayim involved, so then there's many valid ways to do it. It's like there's 12 Shvatim. And there's 12 Shvatim should encompass basically all the ways to approach Hashem. And you put that together, you have a perfect picture of Klal Yisrael. That's the idea of the 12 Shvatim. And this is the Malchus of Hashem. We say, Baruch Shem K'muchus Elam Ve'ed, what we're proclaiming is that even though the world, you look around, there's so many things happening, it all comes together as Hashem's perfection. The whole world together as one is here to serve Hashem. That's the idea of a Malchus. A country, a government, rules over a lot of people. And everyone, as we've seen this week especially, everyone's very different, has very different desires, very different motivations. But the role of a leader is to pull them all together and unify them for one cause. And that's the role of Malchus and Klal Yisrael. When we talk about Hashem as our Melech, it's because He's our cause. That Hashem's the one, we're supposed to all rally around Hashem as our cause, despite our differences, and despite our different approaches, we're rallying around that one cause. So those are the 12 Shvatim. So the 12 months of the year, which is in correspondence to the 12 Shvatim, it's also this. We're going to see that each month is unique in its approach to Hashem. It's because this number 12 is a number which is supposed to kind of take different approaches and unify them together. That's the 12 Shvatim, and that's the number 12 in general. When you find the number 12 throughout Torah, it always kind of connotes that image, that you're taking a lot of disparate things and uniting them. The Maharal tells us a fascinating thing. The Maharal actually takes numbers very often and shows like why the actual number itself is appropriate for its usage. I mean, we know that, you know, on Pesach, you have Shoshos Harmi, Yodea, you have all the numbers, and there's different things corresponding to the numbers. You know, Shlosha Avo, Shnilcho Sabris. So Maharal, if you look through his writings, he'll talk about why three avos? Why not six avos? Why not two avos? Why four imahos? Why not ten imahos? And why does the number fit? And there's no accidents, no mistakes. This is Hashem's Torah, this is Hashem's world. Why 600,000 the base number of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar? Why were there 70 souls went down to Mitzrayim? Why are there 10 commandments? And the Maharal always discusses why the number itself fits the concept. So he talks about number 12. And what's number 12? So I wish I had like a blackboard or something over here. But if you could picture for a second, I can even draw it out on a piece of paper. If you take a cube, I'm a terrible artist, but hopefully you'll follow what I'm doing here. Do you have a whiteboard? If you have one, yeah, that'd be helpful. Hold on for the whiteboard. What the Maharal describes is that how the number 12 is always going to be lots of things that come together as one unit. That's what I'll try to depict in a second on the whiteboard, if I can do it. Yeah, essentially. Oh, wow, perfect. All right, perfect.
Thank you.
Okay, just need one marker. Okay, here we go. This is perfect. Again, I'm not a good artist, so hopefully I'll get this right. But, yeah. Trying to draw am I doing this right? Did I do that right? I didn't do that right.
Trying to make the square.
Okay, I need some lessons here.
Okay. Lots of right on behind you.
Is there? Oh, thank you. Okay. Who can draw a cube? Duncan's draw a cube on this, I think I can try again. Make a square?
Make a square.
Okay.
And make another square behind it, like overlapping.
Yeah, like this.
I'll do it like this, right?
Or you can do that. Yeah.
This way. This way. This way. Wait, did I mess it up already?
Just connect the corners.
I'm terrible at this. Who's my volunteer? Anybody? Oh, good. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Make your leg flat.
Okay.
So first you make a square, then you make another square, then you connect them.
Oh, there you
like
go.
That.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
And you,
then you erase what the part that I did on the board. Okay, perfect. Okay, this is our cube. Thank you very much. So you notice on a cube... you notice on the cube, Maral points out that if you make a cube, which is your 3D image, you're going to have 12 different lines creating that cube, essentially. There's 12 different corners of the cube. One, you can count these. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And you have 12 different ways to create the cube. And then there's going to be one focal point in the middle, which will be number 13, if we talk about that in a second. But the 12 ways, so cube itself will have 12 different angles, essentially, or 12 different, I don't know what you call these, 12 different edges on a cube. So Maral says that a cube is the sign for 12, because 12 is a number, which means you're taking lots of things, and they're coming together as one unit, one object. So therefore, you have to say a cube has 12 different edges, so too, when you find the number 12, that means it's coming together as one unit. So that's our image. That would be the number 13 would mean that you have your cube, and then you put one thing in the middle as your focal point, right? Because everything in a cube is going to be surrounding around one midpoint in the middle of the cube. That's 13. So the Shvatim actually could be counted as 12 or 13, because you know, if you divide up Yosef into Ephraim and Menashe, you have 13. The months also, you have a 13 months some years. You have Adar Sheni, you have 13 months. So 12 and 13 are very much connected numbers. And that's always, the number 12 will always mean to us the expanse of lots of the things that are disparate and different, and they're coming together as one unit. That's number 12. So the Shvatim are 12, the months are 12, because the year itself is one big unit, and all the months are ways to serve Hashem, but ultimately the goal is to serve Hashem in a completion, in a perfection, which is the entire year through. The number 13 is also the same concept with the point in the middle. And if you take the word Echad in Lashon HaKodesh, Aleph Ches Dawid, the gematria of Aleph Ches and Dawid is 13. Because 13 also will be a sign for us. You have 13 Midos of Hashem, you have 13, the Midos of Rachem, number 13. The number 13 itself also means one as well. It's things coming together as one. And then I'll explain, because you have your 12 edges and your midpoint and your cube, that's one unit. So 12 and 13, which is the Shvatim and the months as well, are numbers that connote lots of things making one. That's 12 and 13. That's our complete picture of serving Hashem. So the ultimate message here is that every month is going to be it's very different every month. We know every yontif is different, every person is different, and every month is different. And it's not like, okay, this is the way to do it. And the way I serve Hashem in Kislev, that's the way to go. That's the only way to serve Hashem. And it's all about Kislev and Hanukkah, and that's it. I mean, some Jews might be like that. But there's appropriate ways to serve Hashem from the perspective of Kislev, or you can serve Hashem from the perspective of Teves, or Shvat, or Adar, and every Jew goes through the year and experiences all these ways of serving Hashem. So as you look back through the whole year, 12 months or 13 months later, you look back, and you should have a complete picture of different pathways of serving Hashem. You look at the Shvatim, and the picture of all the Shvatim together is a complete picture of serving Hashem, just like the year is a complete way to serve Hashem. That's how we should view it. So we'll say, well, I'm from Shevet Yehuda, so I serve Hashem in my way. And therefore I'm not going to serve Hashem in your way. Well, yes and no, because every single Jew has within them elements of every single Shevet. You have your primary Shevet, but obviously, even though Yisachar learned Torah all day, and Zvulun did business, well, Yisachar has to make Parnassa somehow, and Zvulun has to learn Torah too at some point. Everyone has to have an element of somebody else. It could be of your primary talents and your primary goals. So some of us, we connect very much to a specific month or a specific yontif. Some people just love Sukkot, or they love Purim, or they love Rosh Hashanah. And some of us have yontifs we connect with less. And that's okay, because it could be that our neshamas come from are just more relevant to a certain way of serving Hashem, which is fine. But everyone has to do their best to relate to every yantif, because even though this is my favorite one, this is the one I feel most inspired by year after year, it doesn't mean I can just give up on the other ones. So it could be you love the month of Adar, and Purim is so much fun, you love the excitement of Purim, and that's wonderful, but you can't ignore the avodah which comes in Nisan, or Niyar, or in Sivan as well. You have to be able to connect all those avodahs. It's important for us, I think, overall, to take this image with us every single day. You know, like we say, Jews now are scattered throughout the whole world. And we all have different challenges in life. We have different missions in life. We're in different places. But when we go to Davin and we all turn towards that one point, think of it, every single tefillah is focused on one point in the world that really unifies Klal Yisrael as one unit and shows that every single Jew out there, despite if you're French or American or Australian or South African or Iranian, but you have one goal, which is to serve Hashem. We all connect in that way. We all focus on that same point. And as we go about life, we have to realize that as we do different things throughout the day, whether it be jobs, whether it be just things that have to be done, whether it be mitzvahs that we do, the focus is always on that we're here to promote one goal, which is Hashem's name in this world. That's always our goal. Just adding one more point, we'll close with this. I once read in Rav Moshe Eisenman, who's a Rebbe in Yisrael, very deep thinker. So he, in his book, I forget which book it is, he has a lot of books out. One of his books, he describes, he was very involved in Soviet Jewry back in the day. He used to go out there, he actually established some yeshivas in the Soviet Union. He was very involved, and I think he still is, in helping Russian Jewry. So he was writing, one time he was in Russia, and he was saying Kiddush Levana. So he goes out to say Kiddush Levana, and he's looking up at the moon, and he's thinking to himself, wow, you know, I'm here in Russia, my family's back in Baltimore, but we're all looking at the same exact moon. And, you know, it was like a unifying experience. It was like, wow, you know, even though we're so far apart, we're together. We're together right now. We're looking at the same moon. They'll take yourself on also the same Motzei Shabbos, and we're all looking at that same moon, and it bonds us together. So just, I mean, he chose the moon in terms of his own feelings, but, you know, we're discussing Rosh Chodesh, which is also the moon. You know, you're looking at the same moon every single month. But you can look at the moon from different perspectives. And the way you see the moon from Russia is a little different than the way you see the moon from America, but it's all the same moon. So everyone's looking at Hashem from their angle. The mazalos, we said as well, the mazalos are, you know, you're looking at each mazal, the constellations go throughout the sky, and there's different perspectives on the constellations from where you're standing in the world. But despite the perspectives, it's all one focal point, one unified point, which is I'm trying to make Kiddush Hashem, commit myself to Hashem, serve Hashem, and do my best to bring Hashem's Malchus to the entire world. So that's going to be to the 12-month, or that point, that every month's going to be very, very unique. Like the number 12 is a lot of unique edges, but we're trying to unify it as one unit, and go through, once the year is complete, you should look back over the year and say, I've used every emotion in my whole body to serve Hashem. You know, you danced, and you cried, and you ate, and you learned, and you did all sorts of things, right? All to serve Hashem. It's just, you walk into a shul on Tisha B'Av, and then you walk back a month and a half later on Simchas Torah. You're like, what happened here? You know, imagine a non-Jew who wants to go have an experience in a synagogue, right? So they walk in on Tisha B'Av, everyone's on the floor crying. They come back on Simchas Torah, everyone's standing up and dancing and smiling. Like, this is the same place? Like, what's happening here? Because throughout the whole year, there's so many emotions that go through us. There's so many approaches to serving Hashem. And each one is needed, each one is valid, and each one's part of Havodas Hashem. But we get the privilege of experiencing the entire gamut, and that makes us complete servants of Hashem at the end of the day. Any questions? Okay.